Hey everybody, what's up? This is Zelda Working Title Podcast. I'm your host, Adam, and you're listening to episode number 36. So, today with us we've got Matt, Alex, and Josh is with us again. What's up, everybody?
Hey.
What's up?
Hello. What's up, chickens?
Alright, so let's just hop right on into it. Matt, you haven't been playing anything.
No,
yet.
I just feel bad. Like, I do this podcast, I never play video games. And I play video every day.
Games.
I play video games less and less than the day before. If that makes any sense.
Hey,
that's
Matt,
terrible.
I'm the same way. I'm a guest, so I'm less live.
It's a sign of aging.
This is called the Zelda Working Title Podcast, Video Games Movie Podcast, Best Friends Forever
Podcast.
Great job.
Yeah, I mean, I am really old. I'm 21 now, guys.
So
God.
For Christ's sake, you have one foot in the coffin and the other foot on a banana peel.
And the thing is I need to eat lots of bananas for strength in my old age.
There you go. Protein.
Potassium.
One of those Pad-tassium.
P. One of those P things. All right. Well, Alex, you've been playing stuff, right?
Yeah, so I've been playing Mega Man 4 because I beat 2 and 3. I started Super Metroid. And I played Beatles Rock Band with my friends this past weekend, and,
which Metroids have you played?
Like, in my lifetime?
Yeah.
Oh, God. The first one for...
or I guess, which ones haven't you played?
I haven't played the Game Boy one. The original Game Boy. Metroid 2.
Right.
Metroid 2's great.
Which...
It's a great game. Metroid
2.
Metroid Fusion's really great, too.
I played Fusion... So I haven't played, what's it, Zero Hour?
Zero Mission?
Zero Mission, yeah.
Well, that's the first one.
Yeah, but I played the original.
Right, for
the
NES.
The original is like impossible to play. Like, Zero Hour is such a great remake and...
Zero Mission.
The thing with the original is you really need a map to figure out where to go.
Yeah, and...
One of my friends, I think it might have been Chase, actually, said that, like, he and his dad... They used to play.
Oh yeah,
Metroid. Was it Chase?
Yeah, that was Chase.
So he and his dad used to play Metroid. It was either the first one or the Super Metroid, and they like drew the map on paper and like taped it up on the wall, and they had like a whole wall that was the whole map.
I used to do stuff like that too, but I used to have a notebook of where all the missiles were.
Nice.
And like I had it all documented, and
the internet, kids.
I don't know what happened to that notebook.
Oh,
so,
they found the notebook and they turned it into the book, The Notebook. And later made a movie.
And subsequently then...
Yeah, if you watch that movie, you'll know where all the missiles are in Metroid. It's really weird.
Right. It's like in, like, bad Asian cursive. It's like third...
As opposed to American
like,
cursive.
Well,
it's
you
like
can...
in third... It's like... Like, I learned cursive in third grade, and it's me writing in cursive. I probably can't even.
You can tell
it
it's written by squinty eyes, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Aww.
He just had to go there.
What?
It's like polarized lenses for 3D.
Yeah.
Like, you can only have a certain amount of light getting into your eyes.
If you put your head down and then try to draw something, it'll come out all slanty. It's like that.
It's like that.
It does happen.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Anyway.
I already said that I like Asian porn stars, so I'm allowed to say racist jokes now.
I've been playing a little bit of Super Smash Brothers Brawl at my friend's place.
Yes.
I come back drunk from the bars, and he whips my ass.
Nice. All right. Well, I finished Just Cause 2. I didn't get 100% because that's going to take, like, 200 hours. And then I started replaying Darksiders.
Boo! That game sucks! Boo!
I don't know. I'm starting to like it more than I did originally, but I still haven't gotten very far. Maybe, like, I beat the first dungeon, so I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's all right. It's not, the best, but what else? Anyway, Adam's News Hour. It's going to take probably, like, 5 minutes. okay, so new gaming releases. All we have, to my knowledge, is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. That came out on PSN, and it's awesome. You should get it. Upcoming games, we have Scott Pilgrim vs. the World on XBLA, which is in 2 days from now, so... By the time this gets out, it'll probably already be out. It's on August 24th.
I really like the music.
Or yeah, you're right. It is the 25th. Yeah, Anamanaguchi did all of the music, and it's awesome. Valkyria Chronicles 2 comes out on PSP, and Metroid Other M comes out for Wii. Those are both on August 31st. And that's really it. And then Halo Reach comes out, I think, on the 14th, but that's next month. Anyways, oh, and guys, you know, if you know of any games that we don't mention, maybe like smaller games or something, or maybe big games that I miss, I don't know, email us and let us know. Say, hey, this is coming out. It's going to be fun. Gaming news. There isn't really all that much. Let me just look. Portal 2 comes out in February, so I've got pushed back. There's two-player in Portal 2. That could be interesting. Gran Turismo 5 added course creation and kart racing, which is pretty cool. Two more characters got announced for Marvel vs. Capcom. Beautiful Joe and Dormammu. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce his name. There you go.
He's the villain for Doctor Strange.
All right. There you go. The 360 avatars are finally being redesigned. They talked about this, I think, like, last year. They said they were going to make them, like, pudgy and stuff, and, you know, to closer reflect what a person actually looks like. But now the reasoning is that people's, like, stock avatars on screen while they're using Kinect don't really work, you know, correctly, because maybe someone's arms are longer than the avatars, or they're taller than the avatars.
Or if an avatar from Avatar was using an avatar...
That would just
and
be
their arms would be too long.
Did you see that they're re-releasing Avatar
Friday?
Yeah,
in movies.
More scenes. Yes, you get more scenes.
Ooh. Oh, is this the one with like the? There's supposed to be sex.
Yeah,
alien
extended,
sex in this.
No,
one?
Not just sex. Rape. I get some Japanese porn stars coming in, getting an avatar body.
Oh, there you go.
And it's a lot of squealing.
It's gonna be a Navi Miyazawa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fun for the whole family.
Oh, that's awesome. I actually have to still see Avatar, so this works out well for me.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah, definitely see it in 3D.
And I'm going to be on vacation, so.
Perfect.
All right.
Maybe you can find a nice Korean lady to sit next to your son.
No, Matt or Alex is dating somebody right now.
I'm trying to. I don't know. I fucking need Laura here to.
Way to fucking throw one of the bus there out on the internet.
What? Dude, keep that shit in the why do you need to ask Laura? I've got all the advice you need. What kind of... Do you
need... all right, we'll get to it.
Later.
We'll do Matt's sexy time later.
Okay. Oh my god, this is Matt's torture hour.
Yeah, that's gonna be bad.
Matt's S&M. Right.
So there's a rumor, I think it was from GamesCon, that the new PSP is gonna have touch controls that are on the back of the device.
What?
So, not really sure how that's going to work.
Okay.
Anyway.
Way to jump on the bandwagon, Sony.
Bandwagon?
Street Fighter. people who made Street Fighter 4 are saying that the 3DS port is going to be a perfect port of the console games, which is kind of interesting. They said they're going to add some stuff. And also, I thought it's really interesting that they said they're going to use the slider so that when you slide it all the way down to 2D, it actually looks more like Street Fighter 2. So, like, very, very 2D.
Okay.
I don't know, I just thought that was kind of interesting. And it was kind of like what you were saying last episode, Matt. Like, where some things are 3D and some things are 2D.
Yeah, I don't remember saying anything about that.
Yes. Alright, well.
Whatever.
Halo Reach is going to have campaign matchmaking. That's a first for a Halo game. That's cool. And that's it for Adam's news.
It'd be awesome if they did a Marvel vs. Capcom 3 for the 3DS. I hope they do that.
But I wouldn't be surprised.
That would be awesome.
Campaign matchmaking?
Campaign is like one player mode, right?
Oh, right.
Matchmaking is where you can do it with a bunch of random people. So, like, the game match you up, yeah.
Nice.
So, like, you don't have to... It doesn't have to be, you know, four of your friends that get online all at the same time. You can just do it with random other people online, which is good.
So now you can have, like, 11-year-olds yell at you.
Perfect.
And insult you
exactly.
For not completing mission objectives.
God, you suck! Why are you so bad at here?
Because we have a life... We have a
job. Oh, man, all you 11-year-olds out there.
Nap.
We don't fucking sit down and play games all day, you little fucking fat pansy. Fucking fairies. Probably pudgy-faced Mitchell over there.
Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Dennis.
All right. So that's kind of it. Now we're going to talk about Scott Pilgrim for the rest of maybe like an hour and a half. Because Scott Pilgrim is pretty awesome.
We should probably start off by saying, if you haven't seen the movie, you probably should see the movie.
No, if you definitely should see the movie.
You should definitely see
the movie.
Please see the movie.
Read the books. Play the game. Listen to the music. Watch the animation. Just join the fans.
We have to rally the troops, man.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. The sales have been pretty bad.
Yeah. So last week it was at 11 million. Right. What is it this
20,
week? Is it
25. The
same. Is it?
Yeah. It's made around 25 million.
Wait, right, total, or is it total, or for the weekend, for the week?
Total.
Oh, well, then that's not so impressive.
So they spent $60 million.
Now they're saying, like, $85
million.
For distribution and such?
What was the movie that came out last Friday?
Eat, Pray, Love?
No.
Expendables?
No. Like, it was a stupid one. It's not
Piranha Lottery 3D. Ticket?
Vampires Suck.
Yes, Vampires Suck.
Vampires Suck has made number two at the box office.
Made more money than
Did Scott. I tell you?
Well, no, all those movies. So, Eat, Pray, Love, Vampires Suck, and
the Expendables.
Keep, Expendables.
I mean, how much is wrong in our culture?
Did I tell you guys I saw that?
Well, you have to...
You guys I saw Vampires Suck?
Oh, Matt, you
I didn't pay for it. I downloaded the illegal work print of it. and
was it actually good or terrible?
Here's the thing: if you like just hilarious comedy, guys getting punched in the face, people getting hit with doors, and then they shoot Alice in Wonderland, and then they're like, "Hey, Becca," because her name's Becca, not Bella. Hey, Becca. I don't want to have sex with you before marriage, and then, but I'm gonna punch you through the roof, and then you're gonna fall back in, and then a bunch of bricks are gonna fall on your head, and then a satellite's gonna fall on your face, and then you're gonna fart while you're sleeping, and it's gonna knock me out the window. And it's the funniest movie. That's it.
Cause it was like. It's an airplane ripoff, basically, only with Twilight.
Yeah,
right?
It's that's a spoof movie like Airplane or one
it's
of the
like
David Zucker
epic,
movies.
Epic movie or like hero movie or whatever.
Yeah,
scary movie.
Yeah, it's
Airplane was actually good.
Yeah, Airplane was actually really
it's
really
like
funny.
It's like a David Zucker movie, except not funny at all, at all.
Yeah.
So,
but you know, actually, before you say anything, I don't want to interrupt you. I was thinking about this on the way over, and you have to understand, it's a horrible, horrible thing, but Scott Pilgrim is very much a niche
movie.
I mean, I hate to say it, but it's targeted a very specific kind of audience.
I don't think it is. I
mean, everybody's familiar with the Twilight saga.
But that's the thing, is that...
Vampire Sucks is a more accessible...
Scott Pilgrim is a love story, and you don't have to get the references to get the movie.
Well, I think most people our age, not even our age, but most teenagers would get the references to begin with.
Yeah,
it's
I would
but
hope like, so.
And it's a I see it as a. It plays on so many strengths. It's an action movie that's probably better than The Expendables. It's a love story that's better than Love.
Eat, Pray, Love.
The,
Eat, Pray, Love. It's no. I disagree.
What?
One of the things that I notice about the movie is that it very much like downplays the romance and upscales the action. So like really in the movie, the only like romance is that Scott wants to go out with Ramona, whereas like in the books it's very very heavy on the romance and the emotion.
I'm sure, but the thing is, it plays it so that it still has a romance aspect to it. I mean the character is still driven by the romance. I haven't read the graphic novel, so...
Really?
I should do it, and I'm ordering it off of Amazon soon. I made a large purchase recently. involving porn.
But well, involving fleshlights. He bought several cartons of fleshlights. Lips, buttholes, nondescript holes.
It's still a love story, right? I mean, it's actually is a sweet love story. The whole reason he goes through all of this is partly because of love, and then at the end, he does it out of self-respect. But
spoilers,
yeah, spoilers.
Not really.
But it it has all those things. It has all of it has all of these aspects to it, and it does it so well.
I think it's more of a well-rounded movie than specifically an action movie or specifically a romance movie.
Yeah.
Or specifically even a comedy. And maybe that's why it's not, you know, because Expendables is just like action, action, action. Eat, Pray, Love is just, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what the premise of that
did
movie
Did Oprah
is,
say something about Eat, Pray,
well,
Love?
Well, it's one of those types of, Eat, Pray, Love is apparently one of those types of books and movies that it just sort of plays on, like, I guess women's stupidity. I can't really. It's like something. It's the equivalent of why men watch The Expendables.
Listeners, email us and tell us if you saw Eat, Pray, Love.
Like I had a friend that saw it and she said, you know, it was really a girl's movie, and it's like why women watch Sex and the City and like men wouldn't want to watch it. It's sort of like it's the equivalent of it's like women porn, or it drives the estrogen in women.
That's an interesting way to say it.
But I could see, you know, teenagers would. I don't know why teenagers wouldn't see Scott Pilgrim.
I found out from the movie theater lady yesterday that a lot of people asked for their money back from Scott Pilgrim because they're
stupid.
Yeah. Because they're like,
why?
It's like a,
what?
It's like a, something. They got like letters on. They got words. It's like ring when the telephone. I don't get it.
Matt, are you being serious?
I'm being serious. When I
actually, you know what though? I'm not surprised.
America, what is wrong with you?
God. Do you think it's because they don't get it? I mean, I figure.
All right. Well, okay. Here's a question: have you guys seen commercials for it?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I haven't seen any. Like for me, I had to go out on the internet and find all the previews and trailers. I have not seen any.
It's on like Cartoon Network, though.
Is it? That's good.
I mean, I think they played it on Adult Swim. Like the commercials are on Adult Swim.
Yeah, but
and
like aside from that,
I haven't. Well, I don't watch enough TV to really.
Okay, because, I mean, Adult Swim did do, like, a 3-minute animation, but they only advertised it for, like, 2 days in advance.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, they did a pretty good job with the advertising, I thought.
Yeah, but that's how many people watch Adult Swim.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, do they do it on Fox?
You know, on other channels. Right. Or, like, Nick or Disney or, like, Comedy Central or any other channel. I don't know. Matt, have you seen anything?
I don't watch TV ever, so...
Josh, you don't have cable.
Yeah, I don't watch TV either. I mean,
I don't know. I'm thinking that maybe that might be part of it, but I guess since none of us really know.
No, I could see Matt's point. I mean, the whole, like, what is this? This is stupid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've read so many things about, like, why is it called Scott Pilgrim versus the World? He's not even fighting the whole world. He's just fighting 7 stupid ex-boyfriends. Like, they're not, I think you're right, Alex. I don't think they're getting it.
People are really, really, really dumb. Like, really stupid.
And there's not really much to get about.
No.
And they don't appreciate a different.
No, no. When people are taken out of their comfort zone,
comic book movie.
When they're seeing something that they haven't seen before or something weird, we might react in a different way. Like, oh, that's cool. I'll give it a chance. Most people go, that's weird. I'm getting out of here. I hope my friends don't think I'm gay, and then they leave.
Right.
I think that some people might. Like, see, you know, the comic writing on the screen or, like, the sketches or even, like, the straight-out panels from the books and say, oh, you know, this is way too artsy for me. But, like...
If, I don't know if it's art. It's not exactly
it's
artsy.
Not, it's
comic book-y.
Right, it's not.
It's just different. It's weird. People don't get it. People don't get things that are
very,
different or weird.
It's very comic booky and it's very video gamey.
It's very true to the source, is what it is.
Well, it's... If you don't read... So I guess we'd have to look at it in the perspective of somebody that doesn't read comic books and somebody that doesn't play video games.
Yeah, no, that's... Well, Alex, I'm kind of interested in, like, our differing perspectives, because you haven't read the comics and the rest of us.
Well, but the thing is, though, I love comics. It's not that I just haven't gotten around to reading them, but I love comic books. Like,
okay, well, like, what do you... Okay, well, here's a question. Did you think the movie went too quickly?
No. But then again, no? I followed Inception pretty well, too, so it's...
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was with
You're
Inception.
Smarter than the average bear.
Inception was not hard to follow.
There was... But there's also a group of people... Like, there were people that watched Inception, and they didn't like Inception either. There was a lot of people that didn't like Inception.
They're stupid.
And it wasn't because they didn't get it. It was because it wasn't the type of movie that they really wanted. I guess.
Too much thinking.
It would, or I think most of those, for them, the complaint has been, and it seems to be a generation divide. The complaint seems to be a lack of, they complain about a lack of emotion. But you don't go seeing a Christopher Nolan movie for emotion. It's very well thought out. Like, people don't cry every day during the day. You know, they don't just like
one soap operas, Alex.
Real life is not soap operas, and people like what's interesting about a movie like Inception is that, like, this is how you react to, this is how logical people react to a logical problem. Scott Pilgrim is sort of how a comic book reader or a video game player reacts to the world.
Right.
I mean, I found myself, when I was watching the movie, I'm like, I look at the world sometimes that way. Do you guys ever get that impression? Like, man, I would love to kick a guy's ass so hard that he turns into change. Or you would imagine a conflict, like, conflict is resolved using, like, Dragon Ball Z.
Or, I mean, even on the other opposite spectrum of that, like, if I were to make out with a really hot chick, like, hearts would fly.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. I mean, it's the world. It's a very self-contained world within the context of, like, the references that it's making.
I think Edgar Wright, who was the director of the movie, said that in his mind, Scott Pilgrim was the hero in, like, Scott Pilgrim's own mind of, like, his kind of, like, a fictional story that is his life, which I thought was an interesting take on it.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's how... It's world perspective. I'm actually more surprised that more people don't see the world that way, especially as of late. I mean, video games have become so mainstream lately. Mm-hmm. Comic books have even become, well, not so much comic books, but the stories behind comic books. I mean, you have this resurgence of Batman, Spider-Man,
right.
Iron Man.
Comic book movies.
These movies have come out, and all of a sudden, are people so blind to what the source material is that they have no clue about this? And part of me thinks that's actually true. There's like one of the kids in, he's a high school student working in the lab I'm in. I talked to him, like, do you watch, like, you know, he does Math League, whatever crap. But I'm like, do you watch movies? And he's like, well, once in a while. I was like, or read comic books. He's like, oh, I don't read comics. Like, do you watch, like, Batman? He's like, yeah, that's great. And he's like, oh, you read Batman, Spider-Man when you were, like, a kid, like, when they came out in the 80s. I'm like, no, those stories didn't come out in the 80s. They came out in the 40s and 60s. Like, people just have no clue about where this stuff is coming from, I think.
The internet. Internet.com.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I haven't done my lessons on internet.com this week, guys.
Oh, Matt, you're falling behind. What was I going to say?
I think part of the hope was that there was going to be... the word of mouth was going to actually bring the...
Yeah, they did. They did a lot of, like, early screenings. Angel saw it, like, back in February.
Where did he see it?
Which is insane. I think in New Jersey.
It was probably one of the tests. A film test, or it's like New York Comic. I know there's different Comic Cons. Like, there's a Philadelphia Comic Con, right?
I don't think it was Comic Con. I don't know. And he just said that he saw it back in February.
I mean, it's a very grassroots type of advertising.
Yeah.
And they had a really big showing during San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, they showed the whole thing there.
Right.
I mean, this is a movie. It's a great movie.
I can't. Why? Okay, so, you know, teens, people in their 20s and maybe early 30s go and see things, like you said, Batman, Spider-Man, Iron Man. Why aren't they interested in Scott Pilgrim?
I think because something like Batman and Spider-Man have been... It takes the source material, but it puts it into a movie form.
Because they're so well known, maybe?
I was going to say,
it's a movie.
They're icons.
They're icons,
Icons.
They take the...
So they're easily identifiable.
Yeah, so like everybody knows...
Well, everybody knows Batman, Spider-Man, Superman.
That makes sense.
They take the story... They don't take the comic of Spider-Man and put it on the film. They put the story of Spider-Man.
Well, there's a question. Do you think if they did do that, it would get the same reception as the movies that have come out?
I mean, I don't know, man. I've wondered that, like, what would happen if we got a little translation of, like, Batman Year One or The Killing Joke? I mean, I know that Batman Begins was partly, you know, like, the new reboot of the franchise was partly kind of based on those books, but, like, what if they did that, like, a la Sin City, like, just a direct translation? How would the general public...
Well, you know what, you actually bring up a really good point. Sin City did very well.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was very much like Scott Pilgrim in that it used a lot of like things that you would see in comic books, but not necessarily in movies.
And the way the dialogue is actually presented, the dialogue is very stilted when you watch the movie. Like it's not.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's not normal because it's directly from the graphic, not like from the comics.
Exactly.
So I don't know where the like. Maybe,
but did it do well in the box?
I thought it did very. Didn't it? I thought it was pretty. Did pretty well in
I
the box.
I think it did really well.
I thought it did decent, but I remember like a lot of people. I mean, it was either like you love it or hate it.
Hmm.
But I think it was better than the reception for Scott Pilgrim. I thought Scott Pilgrim is a lot more of an accessible movie for all ages.
I don't usually like read reviews, but I've been hearing that people have said that the reviews have all been positive.
Every review that I've read has been positive.
Yeah.
So what the hell?
Well, reviews, just because a review is positive doesn't mean that the reception is going to be very much positive. I mean, sure. Shawshank Redemption is the pinnacle example, right? It was a very highly reviewed movie. It tanked in the box office because nobody really knew what to make of it. Like, people didn't go to that movie and say, like, oh, this is amazing, everybody's got to watch it. It was, they couldn't really advertise for it, and when you saw the commercials, you didn't know what to make of it. And it wasn't until they had a really, like, grassroots word-of-mouth thing happen on video rentals that the movie got popular. And I think they're hoping for Scott Pilgrim to be the same way.
I'm hoping that way, too. I read somewhere on a forum, I think it was on IMDb, where people were talking about, like, why Scott Pilgrim hasn't been received so well, and someone brought up Fight Club, right? Like Fight Club tanking in the box office, not doing so well in the theaters, and now it's a cult classic, right? I mean, it's like a prime example of taking a weird subgenre of literature and making a very good translation of that onto film. So, you know, I'm kind of hoping the same thing happens with Scott Pilgrim.
Well, I have no doubt in my mind that Scott Pilgrim is now and is going to be in the future a cult classic.
The movie hooked me from the beginning. There's just like the first third of them has Link to the Past references all over the fucking place.
Yeah, the opening scene
starts so with good. A Zelda.
It's like all the sound. It's and they use. At
when
most
they
16...
when they go into Scott's dream and like the fairy theme,
and you know which game it is.
Different. It was so good. Oh my god! All right, kids. Miyamoto had to view this movie early to, you know, let those kind of things slide. You know, they had to get his permission to use Zelda and Mario sound effects and music. So, and he liked it.
Did he like the movie?
There was no reason for he did. Yeah.
Because he gets it.
There's no reason for you not to. Right.
He gets it.
I bet he fucking sees the world that way.
I mean, I think the task at hand is to view this not... I mean, okay, all fandom aside, all, like, nostalgia aside for video games, let's look at this movie as the average American who probably has not had a lot of exposure to these things. Like, what do you make of this movie? Okay, it's very fast-paced. It's very... It's edited very quickly. It's frenetic. If they see it, okay. Right? It's very frenetic. Let's say this is a person that's seen it and then asked for their money back, right? Okay, it's a very, very quick movie. You have to kind of, like, get on it and understand the plot really quickly. I mean, it's not a difficult plot to understand, but, like, get on the train and hold on for the ride. I mean, there's just so much going on.
There's a lot of action, a lot of fast-paced action. You know, there's kung fu stuff. There's, you know, obvious video game
references. I mean, literally, there are, like, spans of five-minute intervals between fight scenes with exes.
Right, pretty much. At times. And then a lot of times, like, you really can't tell when stuff is happening, like, in the overall scheme of things. Like, you can't really tell. You know, in the books, it spans over almost 2 years, whereas in the movie, it seems like it's a few days, maybe. Yeah. Whether it is or isn't.
I mean, there is no, like, real concept of time.
Right, it's hard to tell.
But even then, it's... You're given... It's... Okay, the whole movie takes place in a span of a few days.
It's also, week. Like, very... It's really, like, colorful and show-offy, which I guess could turn a few people off, because they think...
But I don't think it's going to be a sense of confusion or the fast-paced action of it. I mean, if people are watching Expendables, then they're getting fast-paced action.
Over the top,
yeah, and that's constant over the top action. So I don't think that's so much.
Okay,
a problem.
Well, what is Scott Pilgrim about? I mean, it's about this.
It's
one
about
kid
a guy. It's about a kid that meets a girl, and he has to battle her seven exes.
So I mean, maybe that is just not that interesting to some people.
Yeah,
but again,
I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, Michael Cera fall in love?
I mean, it's.
Twice.
It's better than Superbad. It does it better than Superbad does.
But wait.
Well, it does it better than a lot
twice.
Of stuff.
It, well, he, the paper twice. Heart is another one that he does it in. Well, he does it, like, several times.
Paper Heart was supposed to be a documentary. But, yeah. But, I mean, a movie's about him falling in love was, like, Juno and Nick and Nora.
But he wasn't even that... He wasn't even in Juno that much.
Yeah.
Right.
And Juno was less a love story and more a story about... Well...
Coming of age.
Yeah, it's more of a coming of age story than a love story.
People's reaction to Michael Cera is completely undeserved.
He's a good kid.
He's actually a great actor.
Funny. He's a very funny
also,
guy. He's a great actor.
I saw
if
people.
You, if you haven't seen Arrested Development,
people saying he plays the same character in every movie. Just he played. He
well,
plays
he
another character. Did
Not
you
really.
See Youth in Revolt earlier this year?
Yeah.
He playing a completely different character.
Well,
yeah.
He has a...
I mean, one character is the same, and the other character...
Right.
He has a tendency to get typecast, but that's not his fault.
But, I mean, he's had interviews where, you know, he says, you know, I like doing this, it's who I am, so... And I don't blame him for it, he's good at it.
Well, why would you blame him for it for Scott Pilgrim? I mean, isn't Scott Pilgrim supposed to be this awkward kind of guy?
No. My take on Scott Pilgrim, like, I wrote a review for Nerd Mentality, which is not up yet because people haven't edited it yet, but whatever. Part of what I was saying is that I completely agree that Michael Cera was a great choice, probably the perfect choice for, you know, the Scott Pilgrim character. But to me, it seemed like Michael Cera was a little bit more, like, shy and awkward than the one in the book. But that's just my take.
But he was still, he was still an asshole. That was, like, part of the point of the book was that you got the, maybe when you or
he's
not. The book.
He's not really an asshole. He's just
In the movie, part of the point was that he appears to be nice, but he does some of these ass things throughout the movie.
Right, because he's oblivious to, like, other people's feelings.
Oblivious to his own, other than his own. But that makes you an asshole. That makes you not a very good person.
But he wasn't, like, doing it on purpose, right? He wasn't, like, trying to be an asshole.
Well, no, who goes out of their way to be an asshole, though?
You?
Well, that's a little bit different. That's a different case. I try to be... I'm the opposite. I try to be good, but I know by nature.
You're the Nega Scott?
I'm like the Nega Scott, yeah.
You're naughty by nature?
I'm an asshole by nature, and I embrace it.
Naughty by Nature sounds like a title for a movie.
Sounds like a title for fucking porn.
It's a band, guys. Come on.
Josh knew.
But,
I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know if he was, yeah, maybe he was oblivious, but even then, he eventually realizes, man, I was an ass and I have to really.
I just don't see where everyone's saying, like, he's playing the same character. I mean, like. He's a total ladies guy, ladies man.
Scott Pilgrim. Yeah, I mean, I can complete, like, I kind of think it myself that he is kind of playing the same character, but I can definitely see how other people, you know, think that.
I suppose.
Well, I mean, why is that a bad thing?
Like Alex
though?
Said, it looks well. It's I don't know.
That I mean, that's probably the main problem. Why?
I guess it's just like a personal opinion.
I mean, it's the same reason why people hate Jesse Eisenberg. And,
Tom Cruise.
Not Tom Cruise, but like all those like nerdy kind of white skinny kids that are coming out.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know? Everyone's like, oh, just Zombieland and Adventureland, that white kid's the same character, yada, yada, yada. Like, they're two completely different
but
movies.
You're making a misassociation with... You shouldn't not like the actor. You shouldn't like the character type. Right? I mean, if people... It's one thing to not like the actor. Like Keanu Reeves, there's very good reason not to like Keanu Reeves as an actor.
Right.
But in this case, it's less the quality of the actor and more the type of characters that Hollywood is starting to portray more often. You have the Michael Cera-like awkward, thin white guy in several movies. Well, then that's what Hollywood perceives to be the average teenager. And that's getting annoying. Don't get upset at Michael Cera for that. Get upset at Hollywood for that.
Well, I wonder if that is happening because that is what, like, teenage America is. And they're just, right. They just don't like having that mirror being held up to them.
But then, like, why? Because, I mean, MTV has done that forever. And, you know, now it's not as popular, but, like, when it first started, that's exactly what they were doing, is they were... looking at the youth and basically giving us back what we were.
I don't know. I mean, we can't fucking solve society's problems right now, so...
We should try, Alex. Right,
guys, I just did it. Legalize pot.
That would solve, actually... I think that would solve, like, the Middle East conflict, too.
Yeah, you're right. It would also solve AIDS.
It would solve AIDS.
Passing around a doobie over...
Maybe cancer? Possibly.
Gay people? Possibly.
They
need help, too.
The point is that it's...
Bad to be gay, guys. That's the point.
The Bible says.
Oh, that fucking work of fiction.
So funny. Yeah.
I don't know why that's not, I don't know why that book isn't in the in the fantasy section.
Why haven't they made a Bible movie?
They have. The Passion of the Christ. They just beat
Joseph in the Technicolor.
They just beat the shit out of Jesus for like 3 hours or something. And
Ben-Hur? I mean, come on.
I'm sure there's a movie on Samson. Ten Commandments?
Snow Dogs?
The Ten Commandments?
The Rugrats Passover?
There you go.
I enjoyed that one.
That was nice name drop.
Jingle All the Way? Wait, that's not a biblical story.
No,
that's elf. Oh my god!
Angels
in the outfield.
In the outfield. Yeah, angel. Actually, that's speaking of Inception and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, that was. He was the kid. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. And he was like discouraging his little like foster.
His black friend.
Foster brother, his black friend. That's not God's thumbnail. God doesn't exist.
He's a bastard.
Way to crush some dreams there. Jeez.
Well, I mean, look, I would start them early. God doesn't exist, so.
That's why you're never going to have kids.
That's okay. I'll have kids.
Do it. Do it.
Will you?
I got to find a woman first.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work with another guy.
Well, let's try.
Right, so.
One day, Matt.
Well, let's go around and kind of think about what your favorite part of the movie was. Does anybody have one right off the bat?
Specifically?
Yeah. I know yours, Josh.
What?
The DJ duel.
Oh, yeah, I really did enjoy that scene. But more because the music was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the music in that movie.
Can
we talk about the music in that movie?
Let's talk about the music. Holy crap.
Jesus Christ.
Holy crap. The music in that movie is fantastic.
It is really great.
So it's, you've got like 8-bit chiptune, rock, punk, grunge, kind of like techno, what else?
I mean, you got every. I mean, think about the name. Broken Social Scene, Bat, Metric, Plum Tree. I mean, you got...
Sex Baba.
Yeah, it's just so... It's
but also, Nigel Godrich, was it Scott Pilgrim itself is a song name?
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot what song...
Yeah, most of the characters were named after songs. Ramona, Scott
Steven
Pilgrim.
Steven Stills.
I think...
Steven Stills.
And Young Neil.
Young Neil, yeah. Young Neil was... Yeah. Yeah, that was actually really cool.
Yeah,
yeah. Brian Lee O'Malley knew what he was doing. Brian Lee O'Malley is the author of Scott Pilgrim.
He also, what the hell is it? Kupek?
He does that band.
He has a band, so, I mean, he does music.
Speaking of good name, I like that at the end, the Chow Knives joke.
Which one?
At the end of the movie. What? Not really a spoiler, but her name is Knives Chow. And at the end, he says,
Chow
Knives.
Yeah.
Okay. And that, every time I saw that, I was like, ha, ha. Oh, yeah.
That's cute. Oh, that's cute. Actually, that movie got me a little bit scared because I was thinking like, wow, he's going out with a high schooler. And it's like, right. Wait, he's 21. Shit, I'm
22.
I'm 26. Fuck, yeah. I shouldn't be thinking about going out with a high school student. That'd be really awkward.
Although, to be honest, though, if the high school student looked like Ellen Wong,
she's very cute.
Because I think I think she's like really 24 or something like that. She's like really 24.
No way.
25.
Really?
Yeah, she's not a youngin'.
No, she's like our age.
She's definitely legal.
She can drink.
She's older
she
than
can
Scott
drink.
Logan, than older than Michael
she
Sarah.
Drink. She can drink.
She might be able to rent a car. Like, she's of that age.
Yeah.
I really did like how the movie, I think, progressively got better, too. Like, it amped it up each time. Mm. Not just like as Scott, one of the nice things about it was that as Scott got to the later and later stages, obviously his challenges got more and more daunting. Mm-hmm. Very much like a video game.
Yeah.
And when he finally gets to Gideon, like the last challenge, when he gets to Gideon. Jason, I'm just...
G-Man Grace.
I'm just thinking, what's his name? Jason Schwartzman? Fucking funny guy. Oh, my God. I'm just thinking, like there's a line... That really final scene, I really like, you know, when he... I guess, spoiler alert, Scott dies and then comes back after he uses his free life.
Oh, yeah, that's a spoiler.
But then, like, he kicks everybody's ass and writes all the wrongs that he did. Like, I really love that scene. Like, he's writing all the wrongs, and then he beats Jason Schwartzman. He beats Gideon, and Gideon goes like, you know how long it took me to find all the X's?
2 hours!
It took 2 hours to find all their phone numbers. Two hours!
You know, actually, my favorite part of the movie is Kieran Culkin as Wallace. Because Wallace was my favorite character in the books, and he played him perfectly.
Genius.
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about this is the song for the guy that keeps yelling from the balcony. You know, I mean, that whole, like, that first battle of the bands.
Oh, yeah. We Crash and the Boys were so great.
Yeah. Is that girl a guy, too? Or is that girl a boy, too?
Yes. Yes, she is.
I mean, one of the best jokes is when Scott walks in on Wallace having sex with that guy, and then
presumably you just saw another.
Yeah, and then but then when he's talking to Gideon, you just hear in the background Wallace go, "What a perfect asshole!" And then Scott looks over, and Wallace is listening in on the conversation. But that's nobody laughed at that joke in the
theater. Actually, I didn't even catch that. That's pretty good.
Really,
I didn't catch that double entendre there.
Yeah. For sure.
That's good.
I mean,
the movie is so good.
I gotta watch it again. I gotta really read the graphic novels also.
The just everything about the movie is so good. The visuals are astounding.
Oh, there was a one part where when Knives is shocked and they put her face, they put the colon
emoticon.
And O.
Yeah, yeah.
For the shocking face. Like, they they pixelate her face, and then all of a sudden they put that in.
Right. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm just, I geeked out. I think, the visuals and everything, the story, I love the story. I think really the music is what did it for me. I just, like, geeked out about the music
so
much.
And, yeah.
I've recently become really super interested in, like, chip music, and I did a residency at an art center for about 3 weeks with some chip musicians, and, like, just seeing all that and hearing all that in the movie was just so much fun, and I loved that about the
And then the way it, like, goes with the movie.
It was just integrated so very well.
I think my favorite song is Black Sheep, the Envy Adams song.
Really? That was my least favorite song. My favorite song was Threshold.
Yeah.
All of Sex Bomb stuff is fantastic.
I don't like Metric, though. I don't really like the... Clash of the Demonhead song fit what Clash of the Demonhead should sound like. I still like Metric.
I really like that scene, because, like, I think my favorite part in the scene is, like, the red bass line that appears in the background.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The visuals are so cool in that movie.
Yeah.
I still, like, even though that movie is really awesome looking, I still don't know how they spent $85 million on it. Or even $60 million on it.
Yeah. I mean, they had kind of a lot of stars. Like, they had, is his name Chris Evans?
Yeah, but they don't have to pay him that much money.
Brendan Roth.
Right. They had, Michael Cera, Kieran Culkin.
And possibly one of the greatest cameos.
Thomas Jane? Since
Thomas Jane. One of the greatest cameos since Bill Murray in Zombieland. Who's, Thomas Jane is one of the vegan police.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Punisher, shows up.
Well, he's also.
Shows up
and his connection with Michael Cera is he's in Arrested Development as the actor who plays homeless dad, who's pretending to be homeless to research his film role, and Lindsay thinks he's actually homeless.
Right.
He gets involved with.
He keeps saying, "I just want my kids back."
Yeah.
Great show.
And
fantastic.
And as good as Michael Cera is in the movie, the supporting cast is just amazing.
That was the most perfectly cast, like, adaptation, especially Stephen Stills.
Looked exactly like they did.
Stephen Stills,
which is
Stephen
amazing.
Stills, Young Neil, and Kim Pine were amazing.
Yeah, I think Kim Pine looked the least.
Yeah, I would.
But
say
I mean, she still represented Kim.
She was so great.
Young Neil, though,
she had that sass.
Yeah, definitely
that sass. That
Young Neil looked exactly like Young Neil.
No, was, Young Neil was like, perfect.
Perfect.
And I fell in love with fucking Ramona Flowers during the movie. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Mega babe.
You know, it wasn't even...
Mega babe.
It's not even the actress. It was just like...
The look.
Not even the... I love the look, but like just... I love the attitude.
No, it's definitely the actress, too.
No, it's definitely the actress. Like the actress has a sort of sweetness to her, but like the like how Ramona actually is, like that's very attractive to me. I don't know. Yeah. I can't really.
Well, you just got to find your own
she
Ramona.
She can make pulling off boots sexy.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unzipping.
And like taking off her shirt and showing her bra and getting.
That's hard. Bed. That's really hard to make sexy. Like. Usually that's just a turn off. Like,
no, but yeah, but you
come
know.
On.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
totally saw that one.
Yeah, take it off, fatso. That's what I'm used to. That's what I like.
But no, I mean it was, especially at the end. She's wearing like that skimpy that like leather outfit.
Oh. Yeah, that was a reference to Princess Leia. If you didn't catch it. It's more noticeable in the books, because, like, she's actually wearing, like, I think...
Like an iron bikini?
Much skimpier outfit, yeah.
Okay. But, yeah.
Yeah, she's wearing, like, a corset. With like,
if
got,
only the books had been
movie,
written
had, like,
by...
A
when the
leash.
Book, they could have put her in a skimpier outfit. If See only what? The books had been written when the movie was being written, they could have put her in a skimpier outfit in the movie.
They were.
No, they weren't. Not the last book. The last book was not written when the movie was being filmed. The last book came out a month ago.
Right.
I mean, what I mean is that they were working on the script, like, from book, like, what, four on? Three on?
Yeah, but the whole point...
I mean, they
didn't have that skimpy outfit thought up when they made the movie.
Okay.
Whatever.
They're really not... I mean, the action scenes were also really, really well done also. It you know, because it's like the Dragon Ball Z kind of actions...
Right.
Action sequences.
But not like the movie Dragon Ball.
No.
Because that was awful.
No, but it's very much like...
That came out? I didn't even know that came out.
So bad. So bad.
I can imagine.
Have any of you watched, like, Kung Fu Hustle?
Yeah.
It's a lot like that.
Really?
They did a really good job pulling it off.
I mean... You know you're going to get quality when you have... Who is it? Jackie Chan? Or whose stunt team was it? Who was, like, their...
Ben Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah. It was, like, Jackie Chan's, like, martial arts coordinators.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It was some, like, big martial art name.
Wow.
I mean, come on. You know, you're going to get quality.
Come on.
But, like, they did... You know, they did it even better than... Dark Knight sort of didn't do the action sequences very well. Because all you see is sort of like blurs, but this you get like a whole, you really see the action really well, and the action is very well done.
Yeah. Like in a lot of movies, the action sequences are, you know, very like shaky cam. It's very like close up. You can't really tell what's going on.
That's the thing nowadays.
Well, there's been two movies this year that have my favorite action sequences: Scott Pilgrim and Kick-Ass.
Yeah. Really?
Those movies.
What was your favorite in Kick-Ass?
Action scene? The hallway, Hit Girl hallway shootout?
Yeah, that's
and also Big Daddy when he takes out the warehouse.
Yeah, that was good.
I love that movie.
Matt and Josh, I've got a question for you guys. Oh. Did it bother you that the movie was different than the comics?
It didn't bother. I just wish it was more fleshed out. Like, I really just wish there was more of the background characters. Wallace, like I said, is my favorite. And Sex Bob Omb.
Yeah.
Like, the whole plot was taken out where they were recording and a where lot. Steven turns out gay. Yeah. And, like, all the different parts where those characters didn't really have arcs. They were just part of Scott's background.
Right, and that's something I pointed out in the review, is that the movie lost a lot of the character development, which, again, is another one of, you know, the book's very strong
points.
But
the thing is where that, it's only, you only are losing that compared to the book. If you just watch it as a movie, you wouldn't notice that at all.
Well,
I don't know. I would disagree. I think, I was just going to say, the fact that you don't get as much, or you don't have as much time for the character development,
right,
could be a contributing factor.
No, but
you get Scott, but it's a movie about Scott Pilgrim. It's not a movie about all those other people, so you don't expect character arcs out of them. I mean, Alex, did you think that was a problem?
But I mean, even like the titular character, you don't know, like, there's not a lot of background on him. We don't know why.
Well, I mean,
he is the way he is.
In reference to what we were talking about earlier, what might be difficult is there are a lot of characters in Scott Pilgrim. There are a lot of people you're sort of following around, but
there are a lot of people introduced.
There's a lot of people introduced, but I don't think they did a really good job, I thought, with identifying who the people were and not going too deeply into, like, how they ticked. Like, you got enough information on who Kim Pine was and what her relationship to Scott Pilgrim is.
Right. She's the sassy ex.
Right. And the important part about that is she's the ex. Like, they make that point at the end of the movie. Like, they're friends, but not really, sort of. There's an underlying tension there. You understand her, you know, his gay roommate. You understand, like, what his role in the movie is. You know,
to not wear pants.
Being gay.
Just like,
not wear pants.
Yeah. I love that. Just not like in the comic book, they don't point it out in the movie, but he never wears pants. He's always always in his boxers. Yeah.
Like, you know who Ramona Flowers is. You know who the big players are, but even the smaller characters, you can identify who they are, what their relation is to Scott. And you don't necessarily need to know everything about them, but you know enough to keep it going. But again, I don't know if it's... like, I can follow... I don't know if it's just me or if other people can follow it. I don't know if it's just, you know, if it's too hard for most people to follow it. So I'm not really a really good person to ask about something like that.
Well, like, from the point of view of someone who hasn't read the books, I was thinking that, you know, because there are so many people introduced, and, you know, they're just kind of thrown on you, and you're not really sure, like, who to remember and who is important.
No, but, like, they're usually...
somebody's brought back
up. You know what? They're usually grouped together in a certain way so that you identify groups rather than individual people.
I guess.
Like, the Sex Bob-ombs are together at almost all times.
Sex Bob-omb.
Yeah.
The Sex
Bob-ombs. That's what I said.
You said the Sex Bob-ombs.
Okay, fine, whatever.
I like incorrect. When Gideon calls them the Sex Pops. Yeah, Sex Pops are playing.
Does he say okay. That?
Yeah.
The fucking band.
Oh, Sex Bobs. Yeah.
No, he says Sex Pops.
Does he?
Yeah.
So when the band is together, you can identify the band as a unit, right?
Right.
It's not like they separate everybody out and, like, oh, what's his relationship to Kim Pine or the guitarist or to Young Neil specifically? It's usually as a whole, as a band, and you can sort of see they have little interactions between the people, but it's overall with the band.
It's kind of interesting that you worded it like that, because a lot of, like, what Brian Lee O'Malley did was, at the beginning of almost all of the books, he has, like, little flowcharts of how people are related to each other and how they kind of, like, connect.
Well, I could see that for the... When you're doing a graphic novel and you're talking, and, you know, how many pages is the thing? It's...
Probably, like, 200-ish.
It's about 150 to 200.
Yeah, I mean, it's an extensive amount of time that you can build the character interactions. When you're talking about a two-hour movie that has all those characters, you have to find a way... The writers have to find a way to actually not limit it, but get across the most amount of information in the shortest amount of time.
And the most important parts.
Exactly, yeah.
And kind of, like, going back to what I was saying earlier, they focused... a lot more on the action than
Let's put it this way. I have never read the Harry Potter books. And
really?
I watched some of the Harry Potter movies. And I think Scott Pilgrim did a lot better job telling me who the characters were and why they were so important compared to Harry Potter.
Really?
Mostly because in Harry Potter's case, there's all these different professors. All these different teachers, and, like, you can identify them, but then I'm like, why is this person that important?
I know, that's how I always felt about the Harry Potter movies, too. It's like, I am sure if you hadn't read the books or so unfamiliar with the books, you would have no idea what was going on in some of those scenes. Like
you could tell I'm having a hard time remembering the names specifically, but I can identify the people. For the most part, like the people.
I saw those movies so long after I read the books, I forgot. Like, mostly, I only remember characters by the actors they play in that movie.
Yeah,
because they're like all famous actors.
Well, I mean, other than like Snape, Dumbledore, and then like the Lady Witch that was also in the Sister Act movies.
McGonagall.
Yeah, whatever.
And then I'm like, oh, and then the last
and
one,
Hagrid.
Like, Jim Broadbent's in there, and he's like a goofy guy, and I was like, yeah.
And our good old boy, H.P., Ronnie the Bear.
But, like...
Emma Watson, is that her name?
But those movies have an awful lot of characters also, and they don't actually group the characters together. Like, the X's...
But see, the difference between Harry Potter and Scott Pilgrim is that Harry Potter is British, and Scott Pilgrim is Canadian.
I mean...
So one's much closer to home, and we're much more familiar with one.
Well, I think more people have read Harry Potter also. I think that's the kicker.
So, like, are you saying that they didn't need to put as much, like, indication of who these characters are in Harry Potter?
I don't think so. I think because of the major target audience, there's so many people that have read the books that they're also doing.
Yeah,
also going to watch the
movie.
That's
a good point that Alex kind of half brought up that I would like to expand on. Scott Pilgrim had a lot of rich, like, background characters. A lot of, like... Like, you can tell there's history between these people, but they don't delve into it that much. They do what they need to get Scott's story moving. Harry Potter, on the other hand, is like has a lot of lore in the background and like a whole world there. And in the movies, they just kind of like half go into it to not too much, like enough to please the fans, but then also enough to people who aren't who haven't read the books, just confuse them. Just be like, oh, there's like a bunch of, like, what are these people doing? I don't know.
Well, because you're left wondering in Harry Potter, like, and I'm sure the books explain it, but there's a bunch of spells that, there's a bunch of things they can and cannot do.
Yeah.
And you don't really know what they, I don't really know what that line is, because half the time I'm thinking, well, why don't they just fucking kill everybody, or...
I'm always wondering that, too. Why don't they just
arrest somebody, or why don't they do this to this person? Like, why is the system so archaic? But I'm sure in the books they explain why that's the case. In Scott Pilgrim, they explain why actually pretty well. They just don't go into it so much. Like, you already have this assumption that these relationships occur that have already been established, and then you're given a summary of why the relationship is the way it is.
Okay, well, Alex, here's a question for you. Josh had brought up that in the movie, it seems like there really isn't much reason for Scott to keep fighting for Ramona. Because, like, you know, he's got person after person coming after him trying to kill him, and it doesn't really show, like, you know, you can't... It's not like Scott is completely enamored with Ramona, even though he is, but it's not like it shows...
Well, I didn't say that there isn't, like, a reason for him to keep fighting, but I think... And this is where the Harry Potter, I think the example of the Harry Potter was brought up. There's there isn't a lot of time. Like the books, like you were saying, there's so much of the emotion that kind of supports the reason why. I mean, you can really see why. I mean, even you yourself begin to root for Scott Pilgrim and see why he's fighting and continues to fight. Whereas in the movie, it's just like, bam, evil ex. Why'd you date this asshole? Oh, da 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 da. 5 minutes later, next evil ex. Why'd you date this asshole? Da 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 da. This is the backstory. And 5 minutes later. You know, it's like you don't get that kind of emotional... You don't get that aspect of
I thought the reason that they did it that way was to see, like, part of the reason that Scott needs to know about the exes is to know more about Ramona. Right. He doesn't know much about Ramona in the movie at all, and I'm guessing in the graphic novel he talks to her a lot more than, you know, just...
No, actually, I mean, in even
graphic
in, yeah.
novel, he doesn't really know much about her.
She's known as, like, you know, the mysterious girl who nobody really knows about.
But then, like, the entire point of the exes is the same thing then, right? It's not so much the emotional aspect of it. He already knows that he's fallen in love with her, and the more he knows about her, the more he starts to question, like, should I really be liking this girl? To a certain extent, like, you know, he starts bringing up some questions, like, you broke up with all these exes, why did you break up with them, like, why are they all terrible? And towards the middle, towards the end...
She's dabbled in being a bitch.
Yeah, well, you find out about it, and then towards the end of it, you see Scott wondering whether it's all even worth it, like, why even go on with this? And you feel sympathetic towards him because you're like, well, you know, this is something he wants and this is something he should be doing. But then you wonder if it's really worth the fight. And that's why, you know, when his roommate tells him, like, sometimes you really do have to go through with something like this, you have to really ask yourself if it's worth it. Like, those conversations are very much important throughout the movie. I thought they did a good job portraying that.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, to go back to your earlier question, Adam, I mean, the fact that the movie, at least the second half of the movie, we talked about so many times.
Yeah.
Second half of the movie doesn't really follow the books all too much. I think, and that's what I was talking about earlier, Matt, where, like, the two start to kind of divert away from each other. I didn't mind it so much. And in fact, I think my problem is more with the final book than the movie being different than the books.
Really?
Yeah. In that I just felt like the movie it was tidied up a lot more than I felt book number 6 was.
But
and I don't want to open up.
No, I kind of agree with you. I'll just say really fast that I think book 6 could have been 2 books, and it felt kind of crammed in there.
I think so too.
Like, the Gideon battle is half the book, but it feels like it's 2 pages long.
Short.
Like, it feels...
Yeah, it feels really short.
Yeah.
That's a weird way of putting it.
Yeah, well...
I mean, if it, if, I
well,
mean no, I mean...
If, that's, that is what
well, it's
No, I mean, if it's half the book,
It just goes by.
Well, in the movie, it's because they have to develop Gideon's character. In the movie, Gideon comes in a lot earlier. He comes in around like where Book 4 would be in you know, the comics.
No, it doesn't. In the movie, doesn't we see him the first time at the Kadayanagi
fight?
Yeah, which is Book 4, isn't it?
No, that's Book 4.
Okay, well, still, it's still more of Gideon.
No, we see him earlier in the books.
See him, he does not talk until Book 6. He doesn't do anything until Book 6.
Just a real quick question about the actual books. So basically, it's one book. Each book is each individual X that he fights.
Except for the Kadayanagi.
Because he's fighting two at once.
Both in Book 5.
But I mean, the whole point is that in the movie, you get a sense of who he is before the fight. In the movie, you meet Gideon and fight him, or in the book, you meet Gideon and fight him in the same thing.
Pretty much,
it happens all at once.
I guess this is a spoiler alert, but in the books, does Gideon at any time before the fight talk to Scott? Because he does talk to Scott in the movie.
Yeah. He calls him at the end of Book 5, and he does the whole, like, I wanted to be the bigger man thing.
But then he says, fuck it, let's fight.
Yeah, actually, he's portrayed a lot darker. Nicer. A lot darker in the books. And nicer, more comical in the movie.
Yeah.
Because at the end of Book 5, he's like, I want to ask you, when's a good time for you to die? So, I mean, he actually foreshadows Scott's death in the final book. But,
He really plays like Jason Schwartzman really played him almost like a devil.
Yeah.
Like a demon.
Like very, very conniving.
Well, he's very much like I'm reading Neil Gaiman's Sandman now, and Lucifer is a character, and Lucifer is portrayed as a very charismatic, but evil, like deeply evil person.
Yeah.
And this is like. I love how Jason Schwartzman portrayed him as it's a record exec. So he's going to be very classy. It makes complete sense. Very classy, but you know you're like something's off with this guy. And when he finally loses, then he loses his shit. Then you realize what the ulterior motive is. You realize that this guy really is an asshole. Like this is evil, just an evil, evil guy.
He's an evil ex.
Well, as compared to, I mean, all the evil exes, when you meet them, you know they're. You just don't like them from the start. Like, you have a reason not to like them. I think that's the easiest way of putting it.
Sure.
Like, the first ex.
Like, because Gideon acts.
Yeah, so you don't really know how. Like, if you were to be put in that situation, you don't really know how Scott should be acting. Because Scott shouldn't be acting like an asshole. You want the other guy to be the asshole first, and then
well
then
yeah yeah because like I think a really good example of that is Todd the second or the third? Todd's the third. Mm-hmm. Who's the second? Lucas Lee. you know he's a famous actor, and Scott goes up to him, and he's like, "Oh, can I have your autograph?" And Lucas Lee punches him. Scott just bounces right back up, and he's like, "Can I have your autograph?" And he punches him again. It's just like. You know, Scott, and even at the end of the fight, like, after Lucas Lee blows up, Scott's like, oh, man, I didn't get his autograph.
Or,
so, you know, in that scenario, you know, Scott's being very, very, very nice, while Lucas Lee is being just like
in each of the battles, it's that way, too, though, right? I mean, in the first battle against...
but I think Lucas Lee is, like, the prime example.
So Gideon doesn't really act... So it sounds like Gideon really doesn't act that way in the graphic novel. Is that true, or?
Well, he doesn't really act like anything. He's bare, like.
Yeah, he's more of like a distant, ominous figure. Yeah.
So he's more portrayed like, I guess, like the Dr. Claw of.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
He's actually shown in shadows like the whole time until the end.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have to read.
And there's even a cat involved as well.
Oh yeah! Wow.
Gideon the cat.
Is it right?
Holy shit, Alex.
Dr. Claw.
We found the inspiration.
There you go. I think you hit the nail.
But I mean, I just really like the way Jason Schwartzman played him. It's just so great. And I'm thinking, this is a guy. This is a guy Scott Pilgrim has every right to hate. And in fact, he sort of, Scott Pilgrim loses his cool against Gideon because he doesn't really,
right.
He doesn't really know what he had.
He's threatened by him.
Against the other X's, he's not really threatened by them, right?
Right.
It's, he has to fight them physically.
Oh, the Roxy fight.
Oh my god.
I don't know if I can hit a girl.
They're so soft.
They're soft.
But each of the other X's, like, you know he's overwhelmed by how powerful they are. And he has every right to, like, he's still nice for the most part to them.
Well, in the novels, like, most of the fights are actually pretty comical. Because, like, really none of the X's are all that evil. Like, they're not like, oh my god, I'm going to stab you in the face. I mean,
they're just kind of like dicks.
Yeah, they're kind of like, oh, you know, whatever, I'm going to fight you now. And then going back to Lucas Lee, I mean, he's much different in the movies than he is in the book. In the book, he just kind of, you know, he punches Scott in the face once, then he sits down, smokes a cigarette, and then they just kind of sit there and talk for a while.
So is it, in the books, it's they're fighting to the death, or what's the deal with that?
Yeah.
I mean, basically,
but they're more nonchalant about it.
Yeah, very much so. Except for Gideon.
That's actually really interesting, then. It's actually really, really interesting that it's that difference.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to read the graphic novels now and just see what the differences are. I'm sure
you definitely should.
Yeah, really good.
Do you guys prefer the graphic novels over the movie, or do you guys prefer the movie over the graphic novels?
They're companions to each other.
That's a toughie.
Yeah. Like, I keep repeating myself, but the novels are very much about, like, the characters, the backstory, the emotion, the romance, and then the action and the comedy. Whereas the movie is much more about the action, the visuals, and...
I mean, I think it's a fair question to ask, just because, you know, there are most movies that have had a book adaptation or vice versa. One way is usually better than the other. Clearly.
Right, and but even there's a character, Como, in the movie who, like, in one scene he says, oh, or you overhear him saying, oh, you know, the book was
better. Oh, those are my favorite jokes, because he also says their first album was so much better than their first album.
Right.
And, yeah,
and then after Clash of the Demon Head plays, young Neil says, oh, you should really see them live.
Yeah.
They're so much better live. That's hilarious.
What is Stacy's boyfriend's name? It's not Simon.
Jimmy?
Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy. How do you like this band? They haven't started playing yet.
Do they rock or do they suck?
Yeah, there you go. I was just testing you. You
I
passed.
Mean, I just want to say this about graphic novels or any adaptation. If it's a good movie, I think it works. As a when you want to watch a movie version of Scott Pilgrim, you watch a movie. When you want to read the book, you read the book. I mean, if it's a bad movie, it's easy to prefer the novel over the movie. But when it's a good movie, it's hard to prefer one. Like, I love Hellboy. I love the Hellboy comics, and I love the Hellboy movies.
I hate the Hellboy movies.
Because you're stupid.
Ugh,
and the Hellboy movies are amazing. But when I want to watch... I mean, I wouldn't say I prefer one over the other, just because when I want to read a Hellboy comic, I have all the comics when I want to read the movies. But, like...
All right, well, how about this? If you could only read or view one, which would it be, the movie or the books?
I mean, that's a hard question to ask.
Well, I guess the books, because there's more. There's, like, a lot of comics.
Yeah. I think
they both stand on their own as separate. I mean,
they're both so
together,
good.
But separate.
Yeah. They're so
I mean,
good.
But like, if you're a fan of Daredevil, and then, I mean, I don't think you'd be like, oh, well, the movie's a piece of shit. Nobody likes that movie. Nobody.
Well, I mean, like, if I was to recommend, again, going back to, like, the Shawshank Redemption example, if I was to recommend either the Stephen King short story or the movie, I would hands down say, watch the movie, because it's a hell of a lot better, and it actually goes more into it than the book does.
What I'm saying is that when things are approaching that the similar level of quality.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even then, they're both pretty good, right? I mean, they just sometimes one thing works better, and sometimes a story works better in one medium over the other.
Definitely, like Children of Men, which is barely an adaptation, just takes the basic premise. Like the book is not good, the movie is really good.
Yeah.
It works better as a movie.
Or like Watchmen. Watchmen's like clearly the graphic novel. Like, don't even fucking watch them. The movie's fun to watch, but the graphic novel has so much to it that you should clearly.
I disagree. I think the movie works great as a adaptation.
Well, I think it works. You know, it does what it has. What it does well, it misses so much. Okay. What's the best way of putting it?
I mean, we're gonna get into this cycle again about, you know, it not being able to compact everything but from the book into the movie.
In terms of Watchmen, though, in Scott Pilgrim, the story on its own, the main story, is so good that it stands out. Like, it's entertaining to watch, and the story itself is very well done, and it's very good. With Watchmen, the story itself isn't the main attraction. It's like the subplots are really the main attraction to the whole thing. And
right. Mm. It's really the characters and their history.
That's what the important part of Watchmen is, because otherwise Watchmen ends up being, it's pretty much, it's like DC Comics. DC Comics superheroes put into sort of modern day, like, sort of put into a realistic setting, which that in itself isn't that interesting. But seeing like how those characters fuck everything up, like how it fucks their lives up and how it screws them up, the movie doesn't do that, but the graphic novel clearly goes into that, and that's the backstory that's needed. So I would hands down, I would say read the graphic novel, because it adds that much layer to it. That many layers to it. In Scott Pilgrim's case, it seems like they were able to, like, the story works so well that, you know, you get pretty much the premise of it, and I'm sure the graphic novels add more to it, and it's really good, as everybody has said and recommended. But that's me dragging on too long.
I think we should wrap this up. Final thoughts of Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Best movie of the year?
Perhaps. Inception is a pretty runner-up. We're getting some good movies this year.
My top three are...
Really? I was having this conversation with my friend the other day, and he was like, what good movies have come out recently? Really good.
Inception?
I mean, I said that, and he was like, yeah, that's good. But,
My favorites are Scott Pilgrim, Inception, and Kick-Ass. My favorite movies of the year.
All right.
I think I think Scott Pilgrim and Inception are some of the really, really good movies, but there haven't been a whole lot of good movies this year. I have to agree with that. Yeah. There's been a lot of like mediocre blockbuster movies, and a lot of people have even been saying that, but in terms of like the quality of Scott Pilgrim is so high. And the quality of Inception is so high that, you know, it's just those are just amazing movies. Like, I would definitely put them as, like, some of my most favorite movies ever. Like, I can't wait till they come out on DVD.
I think you mean Blu-ray.
Scott Pilgrim on Blu-ray right
like,
now.
I have this itch to watch. Like, I have this itch to watch Scott Pilgrim again. Just like it's one of those movies.
I mean, we're gonna go see it again on Wednesday.
I might.
Have you only seen
I'm
it
really
once?
Considering about doing it. Like, I'm going to see my.
And that'll be the third time.
Right, we've seen it already.
I'm seeing my hot cousin tomorrow. So nice. And she hasn't seen it yet.
You should go see Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, well, that's what I was like. Maybe I'm not dating my fucking cousin.
That's a good movie. Date night.
Okay, tell her to come over to Arizona. I'll treat her to a movie.
Yeah, just fly down, and
I'll have to bring it up with her. It was such a fun movie to watch, and it's one of those movies like you can watch several times, and have a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Okay, here's something. The more you watch it, the more you understand it. That movie is like mind-numbingly subtle. There are so many things.
There's so much subtlety too.
That you will not notice unless you watch it multiple times. I mean, even like despite reading the novel or not, you get more the more times you watch it. But
But Alex points out a good thing. It's just fun. It's just a fun movie to watch. And that's why I don't understand why it's not doing so well.
Everyone, email us. What's your favorite? What's your review of Scott Pilgrim?
PSA.
What's your favorite Scott Pilgrim? Who is it?
We had an email of that, but we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah. Noah, right?
Yeah.
Our favorite listener.
God, I was going to say one more thing. Okay. If this is the last thing, my favorite, absolute favorite thing about the movie is that it just depicts the novels perfectly. Like, I have not seen that kind of quality in any adaptation movie. There are camera shots, panels, dialogues taken.
Well, I haven't read Sin City, but...
Sin City sucks.
I'll take your word for it. But,
no, I mean, but if you want to talk about, like, straight from the book.
Yeah.
I mean, the book was the storyboard.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So.
But.
I mean, much like we've been, like, doing panel to, like, still
mm-hmm.
comparisons, like, the same thing was done for Sin City.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. But yeah, I mean, just, like, there's stuff taken straight from the comics.
Well, I mean,
as I was watching the movie, I was just astounded by, like, you know, what I'm seeing on screen is exactly what I read in the book. It's just... I was amazed. So, yeah.
Is Knives anyway, okay. as annoying in the graphic novel as she is in the movie?
Yeah, pretty much.
I think actually she's more sympathetic in the movie than she is in the books.
Okay.
She doesn't have a scene like she has at the end in the movie, in the book.
Well...
Kind of.
There was kind of a scene, but not.
Yeah. I mean, I really did like how she was turning into the ex.
Well, you guys know the original ending for the movie was Scott and Knives getting back together.
Was
yeah,
it?
They had to reshoot the ending. They reshot it to match the book.
Oh wow. Huh. That's interesting.
You know, I was telling when we first saw it that like that was my. I was waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
I was like, and actually, you know what? I wouldn't have been angry if they did that.
Yeah.
Because just the way that they had set it up in the movie was just like, I almost did not want them to get back together. I wanted them to go the other route and have him in.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't... There's clearly, like, a maturity issue there. I mean, it didn't seem like it actually really fit for Scott to stay with Knives.
She's too cool for him.
That was a great line.
I don't know, guys. Guys, email us. Who would you have gone with, Ramona or Knives?
Oh, I fucking would have gone with Ramona. Fuck that.
I don't know. I would have gone for Knives. I like...
Oath?
I like the Chinese ladies.
I mean, because part of the reason it makes more sense is that both Scott and Knives learn something from it. Like, Knives matures from this experience also. It really wouldn't...
Well,
they all do, but like... I think in terms of how in terms of relationships specifically, Scott like not only learns how to break up with people now, which that's clearly one of the things he has learned to do, but Knives also in the end learns to give up like the exes. And I think it's important.
I think it's also very important
that they had the break. She had to let him go. I think that works out very, very well.
Knives learns how to suck a dick.
Suck a dick? Oh,
whoa.
Left field.
She and Kim do make out in the book.
Boner alert.
Fuck.
So, well, definitely.
Yeah, I would have gone for any of the ladies in that movie.
Kim Pine was cute,
say,
too.
All of them were.
Kim is my favorite character.
Scott's sister in the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Anna
exactly.
Kendrick, she's gorgeous. Have you guys ever seen Up in...
Yeah. Brie Larson, I mean, have you seen the music video, the complete music video for that Black Sheep song? I mean, she's waving her ass around in that tight black dress.
She's only 20. Like, she's Scott the youngest deals. Actress in the movie. She's 20.
What's the...
Oh, wow.
What was Scott's sister's, the actress who played her?
Anna Space. Kendrick?
Yeah, I saw her in Up in the Air, and I felt, you know, she's...
Yeah, she's fantastic in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's really... Oh, my God, I would fucking... I would put my cock in her eye.
She's in Twilight over
there. Oh, well, that that's 10 points off.
No, she's...
10 points. You're automatically deducted.
Yeah, that's, you know, like a gymnastics finish. Just
by association.
It's like when they take the hop.
And the Germans give her a 7.
The highest she can get is a 9.
Yeah.
The Korean judges snatter very hard.
So yeah, so
Alex,
yeah.
another thing.
Oh my God.
I mean, not just to you, but for everyone who hasn't read the books, there's a lot of, like, really, they're not even like subplots because they're really important, but there's a lot of other elements that they left out of the movie that have a lot to do with the story as a whole. But I won't really go into that because that would take forever, but...
Yeah, and we basically...
Email.
It's honestly been... It was something I've been trying to get around to, and I just haven't had time to get around to it.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, you said you're going to buy them. So.
You know what? I'm planning on... After talking today, I think I'm actually going to buy them probably tomorrow morning or something. Like, go on to Amazon and order all of them. Because they're pretty cheap, too. Like, $7 off of Amazon.
What?
I think...
Really?
Go to Atomic Comics, the local comic book store.
Local comic
book. Support your comic.
Support local business.
Fuck that. I'm just going to get as cheap as I can. Look, I spent fucking... Again, I have like 11 volumes of Sandman right now, sitting right next to me. I spent all
yeah,
lot,
I
spent
bought
all
a bunch
money.
Of Hellboy comics last week, too.
That's another one I got to read. Fucking Hellboy is going to be...
They're really the only comics I like. Hellboy and Scott Pilgrim.
I was reading a lot of Deadpool.
Deadpool's
for a while,
great.
But I don't know near.
I hate 99% of all comic book art, so I can't read. Like, I tried to read League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and I don't like the way that guy draws women. He draws them.
It's a little bit. It's a little bit.
And
weird.
So I
oh,
can't
yeah,
read.
I actually quite enjoy that.
But I thought the writing was good, but I couldn't read it because I couldn't.
The writing,
couldn't
yeah,
stand
writing
the
is great. The I mean, I usually follow Marvel comics, so I read a lot of Spider-Man when I can, and Deadpool I followed for a while. Deadpool's great.
Okay,
but yeah,
email us wtpodcast@gmail.com. Who's your favorite Evil X?
Which girl would you go for?
Mm-hmm. Which girl do you think out of us four? Which one do you think is most likely to get with Ramona Flowers? Me, I'm putting my vote in.
Wait, should we answer this question already on our own? Like, which girl will we go for?
That's just creepy.
Wait,
really quickly. Adam.
Hurry, go.
I think either. Okay, I'll say Kim.
Not quick enough.
I'll say Kim.
Josh.
Ramona, hands down, all the way.
Alex. Ramona.
Alex.
Matt.
Knives.
All right.
You would.
Well, she's all lonely now. Everyone's hooking up with everyone else.
Kim doesn't have anybody. Kim doesn't have anybody either.
Wait, Adam took Kim.
Well, yeah, but I thought we were talking about the movie.
In the book, she has a guy for a while, but that doesn't last. Anyway.
Oh, I take Steven. Book reference.
Woo!
Nice. All right. So, Noah emails us. Noah, I have to thank you for typing this in legible English.
This time,
so,
or...
Good job. Yeah, he can read, he can write. So thank
ooh,
you for
double
that.
Threat.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dear WT Podcast, I don't see the big deal about Blu-ray. It's HD. I'm supposed to say this sarcastically. Wow. Who gives a crap? Also sarcastically, you can see the detail. The flawless skin of the hot actors. Who cares? The only reason you would get that is because you have an HD TV. Not many people have that. Not saying no one has HD, I just don't see the point of making a DVD obsolete. If it's selling like crazy and the Blu-ray is being forced on us, it's just because it's HD. And I think that the PS3 is the biggest reason for people to buy it. Anyways, I'm pretty sure you didn't read my email. I think you did read it, but edited it out. That's a question. I certainly didn't edit it out. So maybe we didn't read it. I don't know. Laura said we did. I don't know if we did. Whatever. But I guess email it to us again, and we'll read it. Unless it's like that really, really long one. Anyway. Here is something that is... It kind of breaks my heart.
Yeah.
I don't ever plan on seeing Scott Pilgrim because it looks dumb. I already know the plot. What's the point of seeing a retarded, cheesy movie about a geek? Haven't seen that before. Sarcastic again. And I don't get the title. Why is he fighting the world? Isn't he fighting his ex-girlfriend's exes? His girlfriend's exes? Maybe his girlfriend is a whore and that's why he has to fight the world. Could you tell me? You want to talk about that real quick?
We talked about the movie for an hour and a half.
Noah, that's stupid. Go see the movie. You, like I said at the very beginning, if you're listening to this podcast,
it's not only a good movie, but you will understand all the references and it'll make you feel good, and it's best movie.
Should we just say, like, when he's referring to the world, it's like how the world brings him down and it sort of has him down in the dumps to begin with?
It's not the world literally, it's the world metaphor.
Exactly.
But it kind of is like everyone.
It's like everybody's against. Dumping on him. Anyway. It's like Charlie Brown.
Anyway, yeah. Sure, that's a good example. Anyway. Well, I'm just rambling on. I really enjoy new co-hosts that have appeared the last couple of episodes, Chase, Kyle, and Josh.
Hello.
Yeah. They should talk louder because I have to turn up the volume for them. Then Matt yells something and my eardrums explode. Yeah, I apologize for that. We're all using different mics. No, I try to do my best.
That's
the effect. Like,
that's what we want to go.
That's what?
I want to explode people's eardrums.
Oh, right, exactly. No, Matt has the best mic. And so the rest of us are kind of having to, turn up our... volumes and whatnot, but if there are any other technical problems, let me know, because I'd appreciate that so we can make it sound better, obviously.
Maybe instead of buying Just Cause 2, you should just cough up a mic.
Shut up! Josh. I do have a good mic, but it's only for one person. Anyway, you guys were talking about 3D websites, and I heard a Catholic web show decided to make their show 3D for an episode. Here's the link to the episode, it's so funny. So it's CatholicTV.com/3D-video.aspx if anybody wants to watch.
Nobody's
that.
Religious here.
Alex, I don't think you should talk down to Adam and call him stupid. He's the host and deserves respect. Damn straight. P.S. Thanks, Adam, for pronouncing my last name right. They always say Harned.
Well, this guy's a fucking
clearly
moron who can't even spell, so.
Yay for me.
Okay.
So much more angry.
Guys, I just want to know. This is, if it's Scott Pilgrim, why is it Scott Pilgrim vs. the World? Why is it Zelda Universe Podcast?
Whoa.
I mean,
whoa.
It's like cosmic, man.
What was this guy's name again?
Noah Hardman.
Noah Hardman.
Yeah, he's a fucking idiot. All right, what else?
All right, Ian. He's not so fortunate in the grammar and literary section. Ian says, "It me, I heard that in Japan they made the first 3D port."
Good for them. Congratulations.
Right. Wait, was Maria Ozawa in it?
Probably.
Quite possibly.
If you don't know who Maria Ozawa is, please Google her and then
don't do that.
Click on the first link.
Ozawa.
We have underage.
That's fine.
Listeners.
If you get in,
who are
should,
listening to us.
Yeah, well they, you know, there's porn. A warning.
Oh, they probably do worse on Halo Live.
Yeah, whatever the fucking kids do these days.
I was saying, it's better if they're learning about this.
Sock fucking little cunts.
Whoa.
I'm glad you said that, not me.
Today, man.
Alright, guys, if you want to talk to us, you can catch us on the board. They're two URLs for it. You can do tinyurl.com/workingtitle or ctpsocialboard.proboards.com. They both take you to the same place. It's our main forums. It's where we talk and goof around and whatever. Like Matt said, if you want to email us, it's wtpodcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter account is ZeldaWTPodcast, and our Facebook page is Zelda Working Title Podcast. And I haven't been mentioning this recently, but if you're getting this on iTunes, rate us 5 stars because we're so awesome. Write, like, a 5-page review telling people, you know, listen to us, tell your friends, tell your family, because this is the best podcast ever.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's a consensus.
No, I think This American Life is better than us.
Alex, did you...
Actually, it's really good.
Did you want to talk about really your love life? Did we want to do Matt's ugly...
Actually, you know what? I know I'm a guest, but who's Laura and what is Laura's sex
It's type? Something that's never existed.
Laura, it existed like once?
Laura is...
No,
Laura's the girl.
She's the girl.
She's the girl. She's always busy because she has a job and she parties at night. And Laura's...
So she's better than us.
Well, she's a girl, so...
Laura's sexy time is supposed to be... right. Laura's sexy time is supposed to be a segment where Laura... I guess, like, listeners would email...
It's starting to turn into a running gag. And if Laura's... Right. And if Laura's like Alex, if Alex, Laura is listening to this and is upset that I said this is turning into a running gag, then... Maybe she should try to make it into one of the podcasts.
Laura's turning into a Laura's turning into a running hag.
Oh.
Hello. Like recently Alex has been getting into the dating. And so he's
Thank you.
Been
no,
wanting,
you don't understand how impressive
to...
this is for me. I am proud of myself to be able to sit with a girl for more than 5 minutes and not make her cry.
So did we want to get advice from Matt? No? Okay. Well, then I guess we're going to end it. Guys, email us, talk to us, cherish us. We'd love to hear from you. Give us some fan art of something.
A harlequin fetus.
Yeah.
No, not that.
You know, we're only on this earth for a limited time. A limited time offer to talk to us on the Zelda message board. Ask us all your deepest questions. People PM me occasionally, and I don't think I've ever replied to them. Not really? Because I don't want to, just because I'm really lazy.
Oh, you guys, if you try to contact us on Facebook, because I know a few people have, please include a message saying that, like, oh, I'm from...
Oh, actually, you know what? No, better yet, don't friend me. I don't want to be your fucking friends if I don't know who you are.
Yeah, don't friend Alex Son, Alex S-O-N. He's got a picture of him playing cello or whatever.
He's in a mask with sunglasses and a hat.
I swear to God, if...
Although, if somebody makes a Facebook group...
Everybody's just bum friend.
Somebody...
Bum rush.
No, I mean, I'll friend him, and then I'm hoping, like, Burger King does that deal again where you can unfriend 5 friends to get a free hamburger.
They did that?
And I would definitely, sell you guys out so fast.
But seriously, guys, if you friend us, say you listen to
somebody
the podcast,
make a,
otherwise we don't know who you are.
Somebody make a Facebook group, Alex's Hot Cousins Appreciation Group, and I'll join it.
Or better yet, a wiki page, so Alex can be on Wikipedia.
Sticky page.
Really sticky.
Okay, so I think we're going to go, guys. We've been talking
Good night!
For 2 hours. That's impressive. Alright, guys. Hopefully we'll see you next week. Enjoy the podcast. Go see, watch, and play Scott Pilgrim in the theaters, in your local bookstore, and on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live. We'll see you next week, guys. Bye!
Sorry,
he was masturbating to Japanese porn.
Yeah, actually, I have one Japanese porn star that I like.
Okay.
Who?
Care to share?
Can I guess? Mm-hmm. Maria Zawa.
Go ahead. Yeah, there you go.
Who?
Maria right Zawa. On. Yeah. How did you know that?
Actually, not a bad choice. Actually, because my favorite. Because
she's the halfie.
She's the halfie, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
She's the halfie.
Exactly.
She's gorgeous.
She's a good looking girl.
But her porn is terrible.
Of course it is, because it's Japanese.
It's just her crying for like an hour. it's like, oh my god, I'm bleeding.
You know, well, there's no bleeding. Matt, my personal favorite Japanese porn star, look up Riko Tachibana.
I probably know her. Hold on. Let's start this podcast. Or has it already started?
I mean,